This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.'" Last week we did, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And today, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." That's what Jesus is saying. "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I believe we have a PowerPoint, just one. "The promise is greater than the pain." I should make a t-shirt that says that and sell at the gym. I don't know why I've gotten a side note. Anybody know where Bainbridge, Georgia is? Yeah. I don't know. Have you heard about their new potential industry? You know, since the industry's kind of weak, they are going to have a research lab that will house 30,000 monkeys. Yeah, so I'm thinking I'm making a t-shirt, "No monkey business here," and sell it. That's a true story. You can look it up. From what I understand, the town is not too happy about that. So gun rights have gone through the roof there. So promise is greater than the pain. A long, long time ago, and I believe Rhea was with me on this trip. I can't recall, but Rhea, if it starts triggering like yes, just give me a thumbs up. Not a bad trigger, but yes. Good. Like it's you know, clicking in your memory that you were part of this. We went to Ecuador many times, and so I can't recall exactly who was with me. One year, we took this hike. We were in Misahuayi, Ecuador. It's right on the edge. It's on the Napo River, which feeds into the Amazon River, and it's a beautiful place. Beautiful place. And we did ministry there, and there was a moment where we had time to go visit this waterfall. And we were told that it was an incredible waterfall. And, you know, I don't get to see too many waterfalls in person. So it was like, let's do this. And so again, they told us it's a beautiful waterfall, but the journey was a bit complicated. And I think we lost a little bit in translation when they say complicated. I didn't know exactly. It was like, might be a little tough. And they could see who they were with. They were, you know, like 20 American college students from Florida State. But at the end, we were told before we ventured out that the journey will end in a beautiful waterfall, but it's a bit of a trek. Some parts of the trek were incredible. I remember vividly the beauty. And we were kind of in like the jungle kind of thing. Not the Amazon jungle, but leading up to it. And then there was a part of the path in the journey where we had to climb down a wall, not a real wall, just like the mountain wall, but it's probably 10 feet. So which means it probably was 8 feet. Now, Rhea says it's, okay, she's triggered. She says, yes, she remembers this. Or are you saying it was more than 10 feet? Now, the story would be greater if it was more than 10 feet. Okay, good. And so there's a part where you literally had to climb down, holding on to vines and bring just grass, and hopefully, you know, you don't drop. And most of the team did great. I was taking the backside of the team. I'm guessing Rhea was in the front with our guide, and he was leading the way. And, you know, we weren't all walking at the same pace. You know, some people were walking a little bit slower. But I felt like it was my role as a leader to take up the rear, that made sure that nobody got left behind. And so I took up the rear, and then there was a time where we had to walk down, and this one student, female student, looked at the drop and says, "I can't do it." Now, we're in the middle of, it's not like you just go get help. We're in the middle of it. We've made a commitment. We're on our way, and we were told of this beautiful promise of a waterfall. And so we try to help her. We try to, like, maybe hold her shoulders and help her, you know, go down, and she couldn't do it. She was struggling emotionally. She was having, like, a slight panic attack. And as a leader, I want to make sure that she feels okay, that she does okay. So it wasn't like, "Well, you can hike your way back, we're going." No, we wanted to make sure she made it. But she couldn't do it. So the only thing I could think of is, if I were to go down first and a little bit, and then let her climb down, and I would put my hand on her bottom like a male cheerleader does a lot of times. You see at the game, you know, holding a female cheerleader, and I would just hold her up. And that worked for a little bit, but she just couldn't emotionally make the trip down. I came up with another idea on the spot, okay? They don't train you on this, okay? It's like you're thinking on spot. So I decided, okay, what if I climb up a little bit higher and put my top of my head on her bottom, that she would feel a little bit safer, like there's more, you know, I guess she didn't trust my right arm strength. So I literally went up and I said, "Sit down," and she sat on my head, and we both, you know, climbed all the way down. It's a true story, right? Right? Sometimes when I share stories, my own children say that was probably based on a true story. My daughter-in-law, she's there now. I love what she's, it's a movie based on a book, you know, like it's not like accurate, but that's pretty accurate. So we did. So she was able to make it down, and we survived, and we did get to this beautiful, beautiful waterfall. I mean, it was just breathtaking. I loved it, and I was able to get a back massage, get under that water, and just let it pound your back. It was awesome. The reason I share that story is that, again, the promise was greater than the pain. And even for the young girl, it was. We were promised that it was going to be awesome, and it was awesome. So I'm telling you this story is because in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, it said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's the promise. "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." That's the pain. There's pain in that you're being falsely accused of all sorts of things. And the promise, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward," the promise, "is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before me." And this is not the kind of blessing that we would expect. Typically, we consider blessing in connection with comfort, success, peace, and maybe even some money. But Jesus says those who are persecuted for his name's sake are blessed. And the reason we are blessed, so it's not fun to be persecuted, there's pain, is that I believe that we are walking in the same footsteps of our master, the rabbi. You might have heard me in the past, but disciples do hear what the rabbi say, and disciples do what the rabbi does. And so as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is a blessing to be able to walk in his footsteps. I just want to clarify a few things, is that persecution is not just suffering. It's suffering and persecuted for righteousness' sake. I'm on social media and I see some of my Christians saying things and doing things and they're getting pounded. But it wasn't because of righteousness' sake, because maybe they weren't very nice, they said something cruel, and so they get pounded. So the persecution is a blessing when we are doing it for righteousness' sake. We're doing it in the name of Jesus, not because you just like to be confrontational. 1 year, the Lord led me to go do, we would do open air preaching on campus, but also I would take my friend Michael Engel. He would like to take the cross and take it to football games and just literally, you know, as you're entering Doak Campbell, he would hold the cross and he would just tell people, hey, Jesus loves you. That's all he would say. And one time, I was going to the game with a bunch of college students, and we came to the crosswalk right before you entered Doak Campbell Stadium. There used to be a road there a long time ago. And I saw Michael Engel with his cross. I didn't know he was going to be at that intersection. So I decided at the red light, because they just stopped all the traffic, I said, hey, you! And then Michael saw me, but he acted like he didn't know me, and I acted like he didn't know. I was like, what? I said, what are you doing out here? He's like, I'm talking to people about Jesus. And I go, what must a man do to be saved? And so he gave this speech. And so while we had a red light. But I took his example and I decided to take a cross, probably a little bit bigger than that. And we put a wheel on the bottom so make it a little bit easier to carry, because we had a facility on campus, a place, and we would walk it to Tennessee Street and go right in front of Bullwinkle's. And I made a mistake one Friday night. I took it to Bullwinkle's, and I was on the other side where Target Copy was, and I'm just waiting to cross the street, jaywalking. And there was an away game, and there was away fans. They were all going to go party before the game. And one guy just, I didn't even say Jesus loves you. I'm just literally waiting to cross the street. And he came up to me and started screaming at me and yelling. I remember him spitting, you know, not like spitting on me, but the way he was yelling, I was getting splattered by his spit. And at the end of the time, I said, man, I just want to let you know Jesus loves you. Like, I didn't take it like he hated me. How can you hate someone you don't know? He's never met, but man, something triggered. And so, but I did feel God's blessing on there. I don't really share that story. I didn't put it on social media. Look at me getting persecuted. And this happened a while ago. But it helped me to understand that it means that we get to walk in his footsteps. What a privilege to walk in his footsteps. So suffering for the righteousness' sake is living in a way that reflects the character and the mission of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. The promise is greater than the pain. We're not going to be blessed by God for being rude, arrogant, and combative. We are blessed when we suffer because we are living faithfully for Jesus. So think of it as a Christian accountant who refuses to cheat on an audit could experience some pain. A Christian scientist who refuses to lie about results on said research could get some pain, especially when he's being pressured by his company to look the other way. How about a Christian worker on a business trip who refuses to participate in the office debauchery on an away trip? A parent gathering who refuses to participate in gossip when man or woman gets ostracized by the little community. Typically, people are mocked, excluded, and even penalized. I would say that's being persecuted for righteousness' sake. You are living in the character of Christ. And one thing I've recognized through life is that the world does not like people who are living righteousness lives. They get kind of resentful. They don't like that you're not laughing at the jokes. But why does this happen? John chapter 15, if the world hates you, guess what? Just know, this is what Jesus says, know that it has hated me before it hated you. The world loves darkness, and we are children of the light. Amen? We are children of the light. Light exposes sin, and that makes people uncomfortable and sometimes even angry. Persecution is not a detour in our Christian walk. It's part of our Christian walk. And that's tough for us. As Americans, we're Americans, we live in this world and we live in this culture. We love comfort. Amen? Air conditioning. Anybody really appreciate air conditioning? Yeah, me too. Jesus is challenging us to live in the way of his life, that we are to imitate him and follow him. And Jesus doesn't tell us, hey, those who are persecuted, endure it. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. And that's radical. Rejoice in suffering. I remember a time where I felt like I was unjustly accused of something, and I really was, it hurt. And I typically would say, Lord, what do you want me to learn through this? I don't say this because I'm like, I've arrived somehow. I stopped, and my friend Kyle Lehman helped me to understand this. I don't say, why me? Because if we think that through, then it's like, why me? But it should be for them. You know, it's like, he said, we should really say, why not me? And that grew me up. Why not me? Am I so special in this whole planet that I need not go through persecution? So there's a difference. I don't want to get stuck there, but the Bible says to rejoice and be glad in it, for your reward is great in heaven. It means not that it's fun, but it means that we are aligned with Christ. You're in good company. Bible, Jesus says, for you, so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are walking in Jesus' steps. So think of Jeremiah, Elijah, Daniel, and all the other faithful followers of Jesus who were persecuted. And the Bible tells us, great is your reward. Earthly loss leads to eternal gain. The promise is greater. I look backwards because I get the PowerPoint back there, so the power is greater than the pain. We know historically, early Christians in Rome were led to their deaths by, being fed to the lions, used as torches to light a garden, and great is their reward. Some historians write that the early Christians would sing hymns as they were being killed. So I believe that in the beginning, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. And at the end, the bookend in Matthew 10 is the same. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it's not just a future hope. I believe it's a current reality that we could be blessed and find that peace in following Jesus. The kingdom is here and now. In Romans 8:18, it says, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the promise, to the glory that is to be revealed to us. The promise is greater than the pain. The Bible tells, Jesus tells us that, it says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not just a future hope, but it's a present reality. When we suffer for righteousness, we are living as citizens of a different kingdom. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to a kingdom that cannot be taken away. It cannot be shaken. And every time you and I endure persecution, we declare that our loyalty is where? It's not of this world, but it's in Christ. So the challenge for us, and this is challenging, can you recall the last time you were persecuted for righteousness' sake? From time to time, in the beginning of our Sunday services, we'll pray for local churches, and we have been doing that for years. We absolutely believe that we are part of a body of believers, and we are not the only it. There's other believers. Now, we might have different forms of government, church government, but we're serving the same Jesus. That's why I talk about the historical Jesus, the Jesus that physically lived, physically died, physically rose again. And so, but we pray for them and we ask them and bless them. But sometimes we pray for churches, especially the persecuted church. We pray for them, Lord, what they must be going through. We started doing that way back when we were in our old building, when we did a whole series in the book of Daniel, that the enemy uses two types of ways to get people to conform, to bow their knee, to bend their knee to the idol. Here in America or in the West, he uses comfort, stuff, you know, and we bow our knee because we don't want to lose our comfort and we don't want to lose our stuff. Over there, there is no comfort or stuff to persuade them, so they use the stick, and they are being persecuted. I just talked to a friend of mine that she was in part of the Middle East, and they went to an ocean town, and there's a gravesite with unmarked grave sites, but they know that was a church, a Christian church that was persecuted and they were killed. Great is their reward. I think of people in North Korea that they have to gather in secret, risking their lives to worship. They know the cost, but they also know the promise and the reward. The persecuted church, to me, is a living proof of what the kingdom of heaven is like, and they understand this. They understand this equation, that the promise is greater than the pain, and the promise is Jesus. So let me offer my final words of encouragement. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked if you are persecuted because of righteousness and trying to live like Jesus. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you." So what's our takeaway? Lord, help us to stand strong and understand that the promise is greater than the pain. Lord, help us to walk in your ways. I can think of many times I have chosen to keep silent, to not say anything, because I didn't want to experience the pain of being ostracized from a group of people. And I know that's my natural bent. But I don't want to do what's natural, I want to do what's supernatural. So how we do this is not by gritting your teeth and clenching our fists and tightening our belts. And it's really say, God, give me your heart. I need Jesus to not make my heart better, but to give me his heart, to give me his Holy Spirit, to live in a way that brings him the greatest honor. So where he walks, I want to walk. So I want to challenge this morning. as we finish the Beatitudes, which is amazing, the Beatitudes changed my life, my spiritual life. I was in a meeting this week in Missouri, and somebody, I'm a unique, rare bird in the Chi Alpha world. I pastor a church. And he said to me, "Do you enjoy pastoring?" And I said, "Absolutely." And I do. I believe preaching God's word has discipled me. After 18 years, and five of those years was I was also doing Chi Alpha local ministry. Someone estimated that, and I don't preach every week, you know, during the summers, but about 40 to 45 weeks out of the year, I'm preaching. And so I am approaching the 1,000th sermon with Mosaic Church. And I told that to my friend, not to brag that it was 1,000. I said, I needed those 1,000 sermons to disciple me. And I believe they have. I'm not the same person I was 17 years ago. Because when we read this Beatitudes, I don't want to just give you a speech. I want to live it. I want to live this. I believe this is true. So I have to live it. And my hope, my prayer, is that you do as well. That you take God's word seriously. And you let his word disciple you. Because the truth of the matter is we really aren't discipling each other. You know, you're not, you know, we go to small groups and we listen and we discuss. But is really somebody bringing correction and encouragement? It's usually just, if you're married, it comes through maybe your spouse. And so, Lord, help me to take your word seriously. Help me to live it out. Help me to live it out. Help me to be what you sat down and you taught your disciples. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Help me have that posture of poverty where, like, God, I need you. Matter of fact, all these Beatitudes you could not do without Jesus. If you try to do this without Jesus, you're going to fail. And I know, because I try to do that without Jesus. I think all of this points to Jesus, how much we need him. Blessed are the meek. You've heard my stories. I posted an old story of my life, and I realized, man, I was self-centered, trying to let everybody know who I was, and challenged by God's word in my life. And I thank you, Lord, that as I look back, I'm not the person I used to be. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, I may want righteousness, but do I hunger for it? So that's why I love the Beatitudes. It forces me to step on a scale. It forces me to go through the MRI machine, and it forces me to give blood and test my blood. It forces me to put on a blood pressure apparatus to see where my blood pressure is. And I found myself that I desperately need Jesus. And that's not a bad thing. So I pray that the Beatitudes change your life. And if it hasn't, ask the Lord, where am I needing to grow? Where can I grow in my journey with Jesus? And it's so interesting. At the end, he talks about persecution. For righteousness' sake, not for being, I know we may have a little kid here and we don't let my little kid say it, not for being a jerk. Jesus was not a jerk. And so I've been challenged, like, Lord, when's the last time I found myself? Now, I think it's harder to find persecution as a pastor because I'm surrounded by you guys, you beautiful people. But for you, you guys work in an environment, you probably are persecuted every week. And so I pray for you. I recognize I don't live where you work and live. So trust me, I'm not comparing my life to yours. I just pray that when the time comes, when the Lord is, you recognize you're in a scenario, I pray that you do the right thing. Amen? Let's close our eyes and pray and ask the Lord to help us. I like to ask people to raise their hands. We don't really ask people to come to the front. We want people to come to the front and ask for prayer, but it's not our norm, but it doesn't mean it's not something we don't want. But I do ask people to raise their hands, and the thing about raising hands, it's really like the first step. The second and third step are you talking to someone about it, a friend, a leader, and say, Lord, really challenge me in this. And then the third step is like with the person you talk to, you say, hey, can you hold me accountable? Can you call me this week and ask me if I'm living this out? So the first step would be, which is the easiest step, is to just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. But you can say, Pastor Mario, there are times I needed more Holy Spirit to help me to do the right thing because I failed to remember the promise, because I focused on the pain. And if that's you, just raise your hand. I'm raising my hand. Amen. Hands all over the place. Lord, I pray, God, for our church family. Lord, we want to live for you. And Lord, we know that, and we ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, baptize us in your Holy Spirit so that we can live supernatural lives. Because Lord, I definitely don't want to live a natural life. Naturally, I'm a coward. But Lord, I pray for supernatural lives, Holy Spirit filled, Holy Spirit empowered to live the life that you've called us to, even when that time comes, not if it comes, but when that time comes, where the pain of persecution, Lord, thank you that we get to walk in your steps. We love you, Father. Be with us. Be with us as a church. Help us to grow together. Help us, as my little funny story in the beginning, help us not to leave anybody behind. Help us to not just walk at a pace where we don't are not looking back to see who's not walking at the same pace. Or maybe somebody who's struggling and can't get down a wall. Lord, I pray as a church that we care for one another and that we help one another and pray for one another. Lord, we thank you because, Lord, we know the promise is so much greater than the pain. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. May the Lord be with you. And if you're new to our church, we like to do that. And then I'll pray a blessing upon you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And he is risen. And God bless you. We are dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.